good morning outlook. Man, if you're not wide awake, warm and alive after that time of worship, I don't know what to tell you, because wasn't that just a beautiful way to get the morning started? Powerful. Powerful. Well, I'm open. We can just keep that rolling as we turn our attention to God's Word this morning. We're in a series called Abide, in which we've been talking about, learning about what it means to live life with Jesus, not just do stuff for Jesus. And this morning, we're continuing to just move through what we learn as we abide with Jesus. When I was thinking about what we'll be looking at this morning, I realized kind of a parallel. Something strange is happening to my kids. They are growing up. And I don't know how that happened. One example of how this really hits me in the gut is if I ever talk to my son Elijah on the phone. Granted, that does not happen very often. He's 22 years old. Taking phone calls is not something that comes naturally to him, right? Mostly texts and gifts and all kinds of fun stuff like that. But every now and then, if I'm leaving a voicemail for him and I hear his message, or we do talk on the phone, I am like, who is this person on the other end of the line? He sounds so much like an adult. Is that really him? And when we hear the voice, whether it's for me and my son that I'm realizing is now a full-blown adult, or when we hear the voice of someone we love, right? We hear the voice of a loved one, a spouse, a brother, or sister. It always warms our hearts, right? You know, just the sound of the voice of someone important to us is a precious thing. And what we want to examine this morning is that when we abide with Jesus, we can actually learn to discern His voice. That we can learn to discern His voice. Now, do I mean audibly hearing the very voice of Jesus? Well, I've not yet experienced that. But in a way, I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about hearing Him in our soul. That's what happens when we abide. We begin to sense not only His presence, but His message, His voice in our day-to-day lives. I want to start by just a quote from one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, in his book, Hearing God. And he asks a question. Hearing God, a daring idea, some would say. Presumptuous and even dangerous, this idea of hearing God. But what if we are made for it? What if the human system simply will not function properly without it? There are good reasons to think it will not. Isn't it, he asks, more presumptuous and dangerous, in fact, to undertake human existence without hearing God? What we're learning in this series is that, in fact, it is presumptuous, even dangerous, and certainly limiting and unfulfilling to go through life, and especially a Christian life, not really abiding with in hearing from God. And so is that possible? Can we hear from God? I'd like to propose it's more than possible. It's necessary. And it happens in lots of ways. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be spending our time in John chapter 10. If you grabbed one of the Bibles from the Bible carts, that's page 732. Or if you brought your own Bible or you're pulling up an app, we'll be in John chapter 10. If you don't own an easy-to-read copy of the Bible, you can always write your name in the front of one of these and take it home to keep. This is a powerful teaching from Jesus as he uses an analogy about himself as he talks about a shepherd and sheep. So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 10. He's talking to some Pharisees. They were religious leaders, but they weren't the only people he was talking to. He had others around him as well, including his disciples. And he begins to share this word picture with everyone who's listening. He says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, this is the beginning of this metaphor that Jesus is using. We, God's people, we, people who've said yes to Jesus, are the sheep in this story. Jesus is saying that he is both the gate and the shepherd, but we're going to focus on what he keeps saying about being a shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I come in through the gate. I walk into the life of a person, and I'm allowed in by the one who created that person, God, and I know my sheep, and I speak to my sheep. I call them by name, and I lead them out. They know me. We're asking ourselves this morning, can we really hear God? Jesus is saying here in this passage that my sheep will hear my voice. He seems to be alluding to this relationship that we keep talking about. This, in this passage, he's aligning it as a shepherd with his sheep. In other places, he talks about how we are friends, he and I and you and him. Can we really hear God, or is that just for prophets and fanatics? Well, we each need to hear from God, and he speaks to us in multiple ways. So let's consider for a moment what it means to listen for the voice of God. Dan Rather was once interviewing Mother Teresa on television, and he asked her, what do you do when you pray? And she answered back, I just listen. Taken aback, Rather tried again, well, then what does God say? Mother Teresa smiled and said, he listens. For an instant, Dan didn't know what to say, and she just gently replied, and if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. I just can't explain it to you. Can prayer sometimes be just listening, just sitting and saying nothing and yet somehow communicating? I think we know that it can. We experience that with people that we love or care about. We can just sit and say nothing, and yet there's lots that's being said in other ways, right? Just sit together. I remember when I was in junior high, sitting on the phone for hours with this girl. Sometimes we didn't even know what to say to each other. We'd just sit there. Half, you know, time would pass, and eventually it'd get late. Oh, I got to go. Okay, see you. Bye. Right? I mean, sometimes you just sit and listen. There's nothing to say, and yet you're somehow together. I love that story from Mother Teresa. God speaks and is always listening, and hearing him isn't just for prophets or fanatics or Mother Teresa. It's for us, it's for you, and it's for me too. The challenge for us as we consider this idea of going through our life and actually being able to sense God's presence and even hear, in a sense, his voice, the challenge for us is that he often speaks so softly, doesn't he? In fact, God is gentle far more than he is otherwise. Let me just throw out a couple of Old Testament stories that illustrate this. We might tend to think of the God of God as we read about him in the Old Testament as someone who, you know, talks from the mountaintop and is very loud and pillars of fire and smoke, but that's not always how it goes. In fact, most of the time, that's not how it goes. I'm thinking of young Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. He's about to be, as he grows up, this great prophet, but he's young at this point. He's living with a priest named Eli, and at night they're both sleeping in different places there, and Samuel hears a voice, and it says, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel thinks Eli is calling him. He gets up and goes to Eli, here I am, you called for me. He goes, no, I didn't call for you, go back to bed. Second time this happens, Samuel, Samuel, he gets up, Eli, I'm right here, you called for me. No, I didn't call for you. And then eventually Eli realizes it's the Lord saying something to young Samuel. And so he says, when you go back, lie down. And then when you hear that again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord came, it says in verse 10, stood there and called before, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel responded, speak, for your servant is listening. God came patiently, kept coming back, right? Samuel wasn't quite getting it at first, in a voice just loud enough to be mistaken for a guy around the corner, perhaps. Just loud enough to awaken a young boy from his sleep because God had something to say to him. Or think about depressed Elijah. Elijah had just come off of a great victory, and he's discouraged at the moment, and God knows that he needs some encouragement. And so the Lord passes by Elijah, something very amazing. He makes himself known to this great prophet. And it says that Elijah's in this cave, and it says, hey, an angel says, the Lord's going to pass by. And it says at that moment, that's exactly what happened. A great and mighty wind tore at the mountains, shattering cliffs before the Lord. And it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But it says the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire. And it says, but the Lord was not in the fire. All these things were just prequels for what was about to happen. And after the fire, it says there was a voice, a soft whisper, saying to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, the old King James Version puts it as a still small voice. We still use that phraseology. You might hear us hear a Christian say about the still small voice of God. That's coming from this same passage, but in the King James Version. And I think about this. I think, why is God's voice often so small? Why would he choose a soft whisper? Why doesn't he just get loud, right? Why doesn't he just come in that earthquake or that fire or that wind and straighten this whole thing out? Wouldn't that be nice sometimes? You just think, God, just show up. Let's get this show on the road. Let's get things right. But could it be that what God wants most is one-on-one? That he'd rather stand there and just wake Samuel up? That he'd rather make sure Elijah realizes that it's not in all the bluster and the fury that I'm known for that I'm really found, but it's in that whisper that just says, hey, Elijah, what you doing here? That maybe that's what God wants most for me and with me, for you and with you, to be heard merely, simply, and only in the chambers of my own one heart. I am captivated by the thought that that's how God actually would prefer to see this whole thing go down, one-on-one, us together. He knows me. He knows you. He has unique thoughts concerning us. He knows our name, Samuel, Elijah, me, you. Jesus is saying here, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. I know, and maybe you do too, that I need the voice of the one who knows me by name, knows everything about me, and loves me anyway. Jesus goes on in verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He's painting a common picture of a shepherd at that time, that the sheep did learn the voice of their shepherd and knew where to go, and he would lead them well to safe pastures. It says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, he's describing exactly what would happen with a shepherd and his flock, in that flock would learn the voice of that shepherd and would flee from the voice of a stranger. They wouldn't just follow anyone. They could discern the difference, and they understood. So as we hear Jesus painting this picture, we talk about hearing God. Now we consider, what does it mean to discern God's voice from all the other voices that we might hear in our day-to-day? And for sheep, as for us, this really is many times a matter of life and death. Whose voice do we believe? Whose voice do we follow? And are we headed as sheep to slaughter at times, or are we headed to safe pastures? It really depends on the voices that we follow, who we give credence to, what we allow to guide our lives. Now, the fact is, we're here in church on Sunday morning and we're getting to hear from God's Word. We've gotten to open our hearts in worship, and this is awesome, but we need this more than once a week. As powerful as this recalibration is that we get to experience in our hearts and minds and our souls as we come together in worship here at church, we need it more than just every 7 days. We need it every day, don't we? Because the voices never stop. The directions and the pulls and the pushes of this world never give way for us. They never go away. As we follow Jesus, as we want our minds to be filled with him, we have to create space for God at every turn of our day, and really starting first thing in the morning. I want to share something that C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. The word picture that he paints here, I find to be so, so helpful. He makes this observation. The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. In other words, you and I might feel that we should crusade against some sin here or set right something over there. But the real problem in my life and in yours is that is going to come in what he describes here. And it's what we're talking about in this series. The real problem, the root problem for any of us is, are we abiding? He says it comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job of each morning consists in shoving them all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Create some space so that voice in life can come flowing in. And he says, and so on, all day. In fact, in a sense, spiritually speaking, our days can be spent just shoving back all the pressures and the worries and the distractions and the thoughts so we can keep some space there in us, in our minds, in our thoughts, right, in our hearts, and to dispel anxieties and to focus us in the right direction. We're always pushing back something so we can keep staying filled with what is good and right and beautiful and true. And he says we do that all day, standing back from all your natural fussings and fretting coming in out of the wind. I find that to be a really helpful picture. Shoving back the life that rushes in at us and letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in to create that space. Because when we don't, we will find every single one of us that we're so filled with what's actually so unfulfilling that we wind up chasing what's really not worth pursuing, that we'll end up listening to voices and views, so much sound and so much noise, that we miss the very words of life. We have to shove them all back and carve out a quiet space to hear a still small voice. We have to, as Lewis puts it, come in out of the wind. Doesn't the world feel like a windy place sometimes? A whirlwind, right? Of thoughts, a ceaseless flow of words and ideas, people and news and social media, and on and on and on. Another way to look at it might be this. Instead of thinking about it as creating space, this might be a helpful analogy. Think of it as tuning in, like that ancient thing called a radio. Remember those? There wasn't a button, certainly not a touch screen. Remember a radio that had a dial? Remember those? An antenna that came up that you had to use your hands to manually move? To tune in, to remove the static from the signal. That you knew that that voice was out there. You knew that frequency was there broadcasting. You just had to stop and fine-tune to get in there, to find it for yourself. And I find that to be a very helpful analogy for what goes on in my own soul. Because there can be lots of static in the signal, right? Lots of distractions or worries or cares or tasks to be completed, on and on and on. And if I don't stop and tune in, if I don't stop and adjust the antenna and turn the dial and get back into that frequency that says, oh, I hear that, that voice that reassures, that voice that guides, that sense of peace, that call to greatness, that goodness of God, all of those things. If I don't stop, I won't tune in, but I can, and you can too, and we should, and we really must. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And there are some ancient and very simple practices that help us to do that. It starts with our love for God. We'll only desire to tune into that voice because we know that it's the voice of someone we love. We'll feed our minds with God's word. Nothing can replace that. We can preach lots of sermons and have about that, but God's voice will be recognizable to us because we've become so familiar with his accent, with his cadence, with his speech, with his words, the way he talks is right there in the Bible. But none of that will really become a lasting practice for us if we don't have days founded on time and on quiet. How easy this is to understand, but how difficult it seems to be to really happen. In fact, let's try a little experiment here. I'd like to try what it feels like to just be quiet for 30 seconds. Can we do that? Let's try it right now. I don't know about you, that felt like a long time. In our world today, 30 seconds can feel like an eternity. There was this philosopher, his name was Blaise Pascal. I don't have the quote on the screen, but he was a brilliant philosopher and a committed Christian. He once observed that all of humanity's problems could be that they stem from a person's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That if we could just learn to do that a little bit better, we could solve a lot of the problems in this world. Carve out some quiet to actually stop everything for a second and try to tune in and hear the goodness, the voice, the presence, the love of God in my heart and in your heart. It's worth taking the time to do. In fact, it might be dangerous if we don't. Let me wrap up by hearing some more words from Jesus here. I want to read verse 14, and then I'm going to move down just a little farther. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, this shepherd I've been talking about, that's me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then a little later, he says this, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. We're talking about hearing God. We're talking about discerning God's voice from others, and Jesus is painting here a picture of a continuing conversation. We will follow him. We will stay with him. In fact, no one else can snatch us away from him. If we choose to abide, we will stay. He will never leave us. It makes sense, doesn't it? We'll only hear God as we stay near God. And we'll follow. As we follow, we will listen and we will learn. If he's our teacher, our rabbi, that's what following really talks about a lot. When Jesus says, come, follow me, he's saying that would be the call of a rabbi to a student. And that student then follows that rabbi wherever he goes. It would say that the student of a rabbi would be covered in that rabbi's dust. And trying to learn every single thing about him. And so as sheep following a shepherd, as students following a rabbi, we'll learn and we'll listen because we're staying near. We're going to pick up what he's like, what he says, how he sees the world, how he sees us. That's certainly how this abiding and this listening thing works. When we get near and stay near, what will we hear? Well, we'll be looking at that in the weeks ahead, but we will hear that voice telling us who we really are. We will hear him give us truth that heals our wounds and strengthens our weaknesses. We will be taught how life really works. We'll hear all that and more in the voice of our shepherd and rabbi. I mentioned last week, and I was thinking about it some more, just how grateful I am to not have to live all on my own without the truth, the wisdom of God's word, the peace and the help of his spirit. Just how sad it would be to have known this goodness and then to try to live life on my own. Just how grateful I am to not be on my own. And how scary it would be to think that I would have to try to figure out the problems of life on my own puny wisdom or navigate the twists and turns all on my own. I need this voice that we're talking about. Tuning in, carving out space, not just for the general spiritual health of my soul. I need it to survive. Maybe when we realize what we're talking about here, every sheep needs a shepherd. We need it to survive too. We love God, so we want to hear from Him. We abide in Him. We carve out space and practice prayer. We feed on God's Word. And I would also add to that that we listen and we look for God wherever we go. This idea of looking and listening is an ancient one. God speaks. God gets our attention in various ways. Ever had a moment, an experience in which you sense the divine among the mundane? You just had one of those, we might call them God moments, when you became acutely aware of Him and His presence, His goodness, His call to greatness even. You were inspired. And maybe it came out of nowhere for you, but you were just sensed suddenly what's true, what's real. Your priorities got realigned once again. The ancient Celtic Christians called these thin places, where the natural and the supernatural realms seemed to come so near each other, and only a thin veil seemed to separate them. That's what they called them. Thin places where they felt like they were touching heaven, where they were moving from time into eternity for a moment, where God's presence was almost tangible. I've read about how this can happen, and I think it happens for all of us in different ways. Maybe you've watched a movie. Ever watched a movie and your heart just clenches up? Something happened and you're inspired by what's happening on the screen, and you sense that life can be about more than what you'd have first considered. That theater becomes a thin place. Or you're singing along to a song as you're driving, and something about that song just sparks and fills you, and you begin to see things in a new way or a renewed way. Your car becomes a thin place. Or it might be walking a trail in a forest, or a sunset on a beach, or looking into a baby's face, the awe and the thankfulness that any of those things might inspire. Or it might be a near miss on an icy road, or a doctor's diagnosis, or a spouse's admission that caused you to turn to God in a way you've never turned before. Thin places come in many ways, but they're worth looking for. They're worth walking into, because there's a voice there in that thin place saying things to you you need to hear. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning once said that earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. God is everywhere doing great things all the time, and that we can keep our eyes open, and that there is a voice of love and of grace and of joy and of peace. And like that radio signal, it's always broadcasting. It's like the sun that shines, that voice is always speaking. It's the voice of God, reassuring, encouraging, teaching, guiding, all those things, whatever we need. That voice is always there. If we'll but carve out some space, push some things back and tune in. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Hearing God, discerning His voice from other voices, continuing that conversation, this is the fruit of abiding, and it's my prayer for us all. You've probably seen this to be true. Hang out with someone long enough, and you start to talk alike. Is that true? Right? I know I grew up in a really small town. I find that if I go back to my hometown or if I travel south, I'll start to talk like people around me a little bit more. You know, like put a little more twang in my voice or drop the G's from my verbs and all that good stuff. It'll change because we pick up on the voices that we listen to most, whatever those voices might be. There's one more thing I have to say then about my son's voice. It's starting to sound a lot like mine. Some people say that it's hard to tell our voices apart if you're in the other room. I hope the same happens to me and to us all, that we'll all know the Lord's voice so well hang out with him so much that we even start to sound more like him. Amen?